Good morning. Amen. I want to first thank you. I noticed my wife and my name is in your bulletin, and we did solicit your prayers, still do solicit your prayers, and we want to thank you for that. As Wanda said earlier, you know, sometime when you get older, you don't have to get older, but when you get older, there's a lot of things come along. You know, somebody said, man, I dread to get old. Well, I don't mind getting old. I like that. By the way, the older I get, the better I like it, don't you? But anyway, some things come along. And of course, Wanda, she's talking about getting old. I remember when she was almost the age of these sitting up there when I was her pastor along with her sisters. But there do comes time, Wanda, don't there, when we just are not of our best. But praise the Lord, must be doing something right, though, to get all those folks together for outing. That's absolutely fabulous. But it's good to be with you this morning. I appreciate Mr. Chestnut calling me and allow me to come and share with you a brief moment from the Word of God, and then to share, as the lovely lady said so eloquently, this wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to share communion. There are a lot of people that have services. Of course, we always did most of our communions on Sunday night, except at special times during the year. And a lot of people say, well, it's just communion night, so we'll go do our thing. It's not just, listen, this is one of the most sacred services we can have. And by the way, it is for Christians. If you're a child of God, if you know Christ your Savior, then we urge you to participate in this. And Free Will Baptists are among the few denominations that have open communion. By that we mean if you're a Christian, doesn't matter if you're a member of another denomination, you can still have communion with us if you know Christ as Savior. We do ask, and I'm sure your former pastors have said the same thing, if you're not a Christian, we ask that you refrain from doing this because this is for Christians that know Christ as their Savior. We'll try to share briefly what it's about and the reason we do it. But I do want to read one scripture from the third chapter of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 17. There are three ordinances that Free Will Baptists participate in and is in our faith and discipline. When you become a member of a Free Will Baptist church, you are asked to participate in these. Of course, everything is voluntarily. You know, we can't make anybody do anything, right? You know, we just can't make people do these things. It is a whosoever will basis. By the way, we can't make folks get saved, can we? It's something we have to make the decision on our own. But we're asked to participate. This is one of the ordinances. This scripture that I'm going to read comes in the backdrop of that when Christ was baptized. You know, Christ went down into the water, John the Baptist there baptizing, and he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he said to Christ, I must needs be baptized of you. You know, but Jesus said to fulfill the scripture, this is necessary. And when Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven, and this is what I'll read here, notice what it says in verse 17 of the third chapter. He says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there we find at the baptism of Jesus Christ, we find God the Father speaking from heaven, acknowledging that He is indeed what John 3:16 says, the only begotten Son of God, in whom He is well pleased. Now we know there's Christ standing in the water, and then the Bible says also in that scripture that I didn't read that the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. So there we have the Trinity of God at the baptism of Jesus at present at the same time for us to recognize that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But yet they presented themselves at that particular time at the same place at the same time. Don't ask me to explain all that. I cannot explain all that. I'm just like you are. I'm a little finite person in this world trying to do what God wants me to do. He is infinite. One day, we're going to be as He is, and we're going to see things as He sees it, and then we're going to appreciate the communion a little more. After all, Jesus instituted, in a few moments, what we're going to participate in with His disciples. Acknowledging that this will be the last time that I have this opportunity to do this, and that one day we will do it anew in that kingdom. And of course, once they wrap the communion, you will notice on the front of this table words like, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. I want to talk about that for a few moments. Let us pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for an opportunity to be in the pulpit at Powhatan Friel Baptist Church, where it all started for me a long, long time ago. All the inside has changed. The buildings have changed some, but you were here then and you're here now. And we're so grateful for that. And I pray, God, that certainly everyone in this building, from the youngest to the oldest, can appreciate being in the house of the Lord this morning under the reading of the precious word, under the partaking of what we call the communion or the Lord's Supper. I pray today, Lord, that we will realize what it's all about. And as the brothers exhorted all of us to do, not just the Powhatan folks, but there are so much out there that we need to be doing. And Lord, I pray that we'll get to doing it, because it will never get done unless we do it. And we thank you, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the scripture I read unto you was God's proclamation that this person was his beloved son. And we need to remember, we need to absolutely remember in the process of the communion this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the Free Will Baptist. It's not about anything we could think about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. He must be first for my wife told me this morning, you know, you're not number one, but you're right next to it. I said, you know, I'm glad I'm not number one, because the Lord Jesus Christ is number one in her life. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is number one in her life, I can be better to her and she can be better to me and love me even more. But the Lord Jesus Christ should be number one in every one of our lives. Every one of our lives. Once he becomes number one, once he becomes our Savior, the beloved Son of God becomes our Savior, the God-man in person through the Lord Jesus Christ, then we learn how to love one another. We learn how to abide in him so his words can abide in us, so that we go out there and demonstrate that in the world in which we live. Times are tough. Have you noticed that? Time's hard out there. The sister said earlier, you know, she and by the way, this lady that leads this choir, boy, she's got some breath, amen? Boy, and that tape didn't slow down. She had to keep up, and that was absolutely wonderful. And she's not one of these, but she's not much older, I'm sure, but she's got some breath there, and that's absolutely wonderful that we can do that. But as time moves on, it doesn't matter how young or how old we are, we need to be working for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She told me when she went to work, she refused to think about the negative. You know, there's so much negative in our world around us, and we can be caught up in it mighty quick. I find myself sometimes, and I have to talk to the Lord about this a lot. It's easy to get caught up in all the negatives around us. And the things that we agree with and the things we don't agree with, we got to blame somebody. You notice that? We just got to blame somebody. You know, that started back in the beginning. That's why God's beloved Son came here to start with. It's because sin entered the world, amen? When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, you heard me say this before, but Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, but God is the one that put the penalty upon mankind, and now sin into the world, something had to be done about that. And that is what the communion is all about. The Lord Jesus Christ came down here in this world to pay that sin debt that man owed but could not pay. Christ came down in the God came down in the person of Jesus Christ and lived here among mankind. Remember, we need to be remembrance of this. We need to remember who Jesus is. The question was asked the disciples, who the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to remember that. And as we partake of this communion this morning, we need to remember that that beloved Son, Jesus Christ, left the portals of glory and came down in here in the person of Jesus Christ, born in the womb of Mary, came forth and became that sacrifice on the cross for all of us. Hanging right there between two thieves, two individuals that had broken the law and ministered society and now had to lose their life. There on that cross that day, Jesus Christ was becoming sin for us, so you know sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. He took all of your sins and mine, and God laid it on Him. It was so bad. God literally turned His back on His beloved Son there on the cross and could not look upon it. And then all blackness set in all around. Sin may look good. It may taste good. It may feel good for us for a period of time, but there's nothing good about sin. It is awful. It is demeaning. It is terrible. The penalty for sin, the Bible says, is death. Not only physical death that we all have to face in one form or another, but is eternal death. Separated from God throughout all eternity, unless we remember who Jesus is and what He did for us. When He hung down that cross, several things happened. One of the thieves on one side railed upon Him and said, "If thou be the Christ, get thyself down and take us with you." The other one on the cross acknowledged that He was who He was and said, "Hey, listen, this man has not done anything to justify Him hanging here. We have done justly to do be hanging here, but He has not." And He looked up at Jesus. He said, "Master, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Right up to His last breath, Jesus Christ was fulfilling what God required of Him to pay the sin debt. Remember this morning, when we take this bread and eat of it, and we give thanks for it, we're giving thanks for that fleshly body, the God-man, giving His life. See, no man could do that. Only God could do that. God had to come down in the person of Jesus Christ to pay your penalty and my penalty. We are remembering that body that was all mangled and blood streaming off of it, and all the, even after He died, they pierced His side and blood and water came out. That is what it cost God's Son that we might be able to be here this morning. We don't need to minimize that, folks. And as we eat that bread, we think about that body that was broken for you and I. As we drink that wine and we give thanks for it, we think about that precious, precious blood that was shed on the cross and come running down His head, in His hands, in His feet. He went through all of that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. We can enjoy life here, but also have a home in heaven one day. We need to remember this. When we get caught up in all the negatives of our world, get caught up in all of our little issues that we have, we need to recognize without Christ, we're a nobody, an absolute nobody. But when Jesus Christ became a part of my life, when He saved my unworthy soul, I became a somebody. And I still don't have any righteousness except that He clothed me with. Because my righteousness, the Bible says, and your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Filthy rags in that condition is no good for anybody or for anything. They ought to be cleaned up. Jesus Christ cleaned us up through His shed blood on the cross. Amen? So this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, please participate in this. And if there's anything that might be in your life, you know, daily confessing is important. Momentarily confessing is important. To be in an attitude of worship always, to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. We can think of prayer. We need to keep our lives clean all the time. But this morning, if there's stuff hid away in your heart, then now's a good time to confess it. Get it out. I'll give you time to do that this morning. Get it out. Say, "Lord, forgive me, because this partaking of the supper is something that is so wonderful and sacred that we don't want anything to hinder us from enjoying what God has given us the opportunity to do." And let's remember that this morning. I'm going to come down. I'm going to read with you. I thought about it, and I didn't look in your hymnal to see if it was in there. We could do it responsively and let you be a part of it. We do that sometime. when I talked to Brother Chestnut about it, he told me basically how you do it. So if I don't do it exactly like you do it, don't throw rocks at me. You know, there are a lot of ways we do it up at Everett's Chapel during our tenure up there. The pews are so long, you know, it's hard for the deacons to get it to us. So what we do, there's two deacons stand here with the bread and two with the wine, and they get out of the pew and they come down and they get it and they go back to their seat, and we do it that way. You know, there's lots of ways you can do communion. I've done private communion. So it's not any particular way biblically to say, hey, if you don't do it this way, you're not doing it right, okay? As long as we're doing it like Jesus said, do it and give thanks for it. But anyway, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. And if you'd like to read in chapter 11, going down to verse 23, here is his account. And his account is basically just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ gave it in the Gospels. And he said here, and beginning with verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said," and this is the bread now, "take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," what? "In remembrance of me." Don't forget that. "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it," what? "In remembrance of me." Don't forget that. That's why we're doing this, in remembrance of Christ, in obedience to him, in remembrance of what he did for us during his life and of on the cross. "For as often," verse 26, "as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Paul was given this information because of the many problems in the church at Corinth. It became a ritual. It became something you just do with no recognition. There are churches, I know several denominations, that do communion every Sunday morning. And if you're not sharp, that can be just another ordinance, just another ritual, just something we do. And we lose the complete meaning of why we're doing it. And that's not why we do it. Free Will Baptist Accord do it at least four times a year. After the business meeting, sometime you do it at Easter, sometime you do it at Christmas, or on any occasion that you feel necessary. But let's remember what communion is all about. And again, if you know Christ as your Savior this morning, we certainly welcome you, encourage you to participate in this communion. And we're going to ask you, Board of Deacons, to come, those that are going to present bread and wine to you, to come at this time. And in a moment, we're going to ask you to stand and to get ready for this morning. And as they come, I want to take a moment to bow in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, absolutely grateful and unworthy to be standing here. But Lord, I thank you. Many years ago, you transformed my life. You transposed the life of hopefully all of us here, but at least most of us here. And you gave us the hope of eternal life, and you helped us recognize what it took to be saved, what it took to go to heaven. And it's coming through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. That blood can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, this morning we have an opportunity, a gracious opportunity given us here as Christians to partake of the bread and the wine, the acknowledgement of what you did for us a long time ago. And we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. We're going to ask at this time, would you stand with me as we conclude this prayer? Let's everybody stand. Now, Lord, for a moment, prior to partaking of this communion supper, I pray right now, Lord, in all of our hearts, if there's anything in our lives, we'll do what David did of old. Lord, please create within me a clean heart and a right spirit. Please, God, this morning, renew my mind every day, Lord, because that's what the devil has access to. So if there's anything in my life this morning, Lord, that would hinder me from partaking of this communion properly and being ready when you call for me, I pray in Jesus' name right now you forgive me. Help us all to do that this morning, Lord, because if we hide any sin in our heart, then you'll not hear our prayer. So you bless now this congregation as we participate in this communion and our brethren as they serve the people. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. And we're going to ask you to be seated. I guess you do it, Willem, seated. Is that the way y'all been doing? Okay, this time we're going to ask our brethren to uncover the table and get ready for the sharing. This time we're going to give the bread to a couple of our ordained deacons, and they're going to go down and pass out the bread. They will come back. We will have a brief prayer, and then they will bring the bread. Then we'll go back and carry the wine, and then we'll come back and we'll have a brief prayer for the bread. Then we'll have a brief prayer for the wine, and we'll partake of it, okay? So this time we're going to ask our brethren if they will, those that are going to share this, to wait on you, the congregation. Would you bow with us again in a moment of prayer? Lord Jesus, this is great love and adoration that you have for us, which makes us have the opportunity to love you. And so in obedience to you and your command, we'd like at this time to take this bread, and we do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Also, Lord, in obedience to you, we'd like at this time to take this wine, symbolic of your blood that was shed on the cross, that cleansed me and anyone else that would acknowledge you as their Savior from their sin. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do y'all collect them or do they put them in a piece? Okay. If you board members will remain standing up here, I'm going to ask Chris if he'll come up. You know, the Bible says, supper being ended, that they sang a song and they went out. I notice that's the name of the song that you've got picked out. We kind of do it a little different, and I thought maybe you might like this. So I'm going to ask everybody to get up right where you're at and go around the wall of the church and grab a hand like this. And we're going to sing at least the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, all right? If it gets a little crowded, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Amen. Just join till you go all the way around the church. This is absolutely wonderful, Chris, isn't it? Amen. Wonderful looking congregation. I'm so proud to be standing here holding Chris's hand. I look back over his life and coming up and how the Lord has blessed him and how God has laid his hand upon his life, and you here at Powhatan give him an opportunity to stand up and proclaim the word of God. Chris, we love you. We pray for you, brother. You keep up the good work. And let me say, since this is my home church, it's where it all started for me, tolerate me for a moment. As the brother talked about the first love, well, this is where I found my love, right here. Many, many years ago, and this church gave me the opportunity to support me and pray for me and move me out into the world. But you're in a transition right now. You hadn't been in this now in right many years. I remember standing here and recommending Jim to come, 14, 15 years ago, somewhere along, and fill the pulpit for you, just like this brother's license. He was ordained. You called him. So it's been a many year you've gone through this, but it's tough. When you don't have a full-time pastor to do all the things that need to be done, a lot of things can happen. But let me think about this song that we're fixing to sing. Stay together. Support Chris and pray for him as he fulfills the ministry you've called him to do here. Pray for your pulpit search committee. They have an awesome responsibility. It's not easy, folks. It is absolutely not easy anymore. My wife knows as good as anybody. We've had to fill 3 tenures in the last 4 years. It may be a long process. It may be a short process. I hope it's not long for you. But stay together. Pray together. And everybody don't have to agree on everything. What kind of world would it be like if we did? But just agree that we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do the best we can with what God has given us to do. and move forward to the call to Christ. Amen? Before we sing, you got anything you want to say, brother?
I appreciate you coming.
Amen. All right. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, a fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. Give the Lord a praise offering, okay? Amen. Chris, if you'd like to join me at the door, be fine, brother. You might want to seek the Holy Spirit on somebody. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Thank you again for letting Sandra and I come. Keep us in your prayers. God bless you. Amen, buddy. How you doing? God bless you, Nelson. Love you, brother. Amen. I noticed you walking there. What in the world is it?
I just stepped one foot.
My wife's been having that. My wife's been doing the same thing. Just turn around. God bless you. Oh, it's always good to come.
How are you doing today?
I can't grumble. I'm thankful. You ain't jealous when you hung me?
No.
Before he did, then.
That's exactly.